And I want to welcome you to the I Want to Know More podcast for this third week of September 2024. On the podcast today, we're going to the books of 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles, 2 Samuel chapter number 7 and 1 Chronicles chapter number 17. 2 Samuel chapter number 7. 2 Samuel chapter number 7. And we're going to begin down at verse number 10. 2 Samuel 7 and 10. The Bible says, "Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time, and as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies. Also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house." Now let's look at the parallel passage in First Chronicles chapter number 17 and verse number 9. The Bible says, "Also I will ordain a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and they shall dwell in their place, and shall be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more, as at the beginning, and since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel. Moreover, I will subdue all thine enemies. Furthermore, I tell thee that the Lord will build thee an house." All right. Now, these are very, very, very similar scriptures. They're not identical. They're not identical. And as we talked about last week, when we went verse by verse in David's prayer of thanksgiving, it's very instructive. It's very instructive to go and compare the exact words used. Appoint versus ordain, for instance, in this particular instance, that's one of the words. Of course, the word plant is used. There's other words used. There's other things that are said here that are very important words. We're not going to do like we did last week and compare it word by word. That's not the thought today. But I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to go and do that. Compare it word by word. We are going to talk about ordain and appoint. You know, those are powerful words. Those are powerful words. And when I think of ordain, I think of the ceremony that I went through almost 30 years ago now. In fact, 30 years ago this past week is when Macedonia Baptist Church licensed me to preach. I know that's kind of an old-fashioned custom, but that is the church giving its stamp of approval, saying, "We stand behind this preacher. We're watching him. He's under the watch care of the church until such time as he is ordained." Not all churches practice licensure of preachers. But what it does, I mean, I'm like one guy. He was asked by one of the presbyters on the council, asked by one of the ordained men, says, "Well, what if we decide not to ordain you today? What are you going to do then?" And his answer was real simple. He said, "I'm called to preach. Whether you ordain me or not, I'm going to preach." And the same thing's true about licensure. What it does do is it puts the weight of the church behind you. That's why I can say I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church, because Macedonia Baptist Church licensed me on September the 11th, 1994. And then they ordained me last day of August, 1998, is when I was licensed and ordained. So I have now been licensed for 30 years. I had surrendered in July, on July the 3rd. My first message preached from the pulpit at Macedonia Baptist Church was July the 10th, 1994. And I preached on the subject, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, is the message I preached that Sunday morning. remember it really well because I was nervous. I still am. I'm always nervous when I get behind the pulpit. I'm less nervous on the radio broadcast, but when I'm behind the pulpit, that pulpit is a sacred place to me. That pulpit is a place of respect. It's a place of honor, no matter who's behind it. And that's one reason why I'm very particular about who gets behind that pulpit. Very particular about who gets behind that pulpit. It's just that simple. It's a holy place. But not all churches practice licensure. Most practice ordination. Different customs for different churches. Some churches will not ordain a man until the last possible minute, and that is right before they're going on the mission field, or right before they're going into full-time evangelism, or right before they're taking a pastorate. And some full-time pastorates. Now, I'm a bivocational pastor. I work a full-time job, plus a contract job, plus pastoring, and it is very difficult to do that. But with the small congregation that we have, that is what is necessary. But again, some churches will ordain at the last possible minute, and that's fine. It's up to each church. It's up to each church as to what their practice is in ordination. But this practice of ordination, it's not something that you just simply go and say, okay, you're going to be a preacher. I still remember what my pastor at the time, Brother Claude Nicholson, said. I remember it well. We went back into one of the Sunday school rooms and talked after I surrendered to preach in the altar. I went up to him. I said, Brother Claude, the Lord's called me to preach, and I surrendered today. And he says, well, let's go talk. And he had a question for me. He only had one question. He said, can you keep from it? I said, no. He said, okay, you'll preach next week for us then. You can preach next Sunday morning. And so I did. That's what Brother Claude wanted as pastor, and I preached the following Sunday morning. And I've preached as opportunity allowed since then, up until a few years back. I believe it was first Sunday in February 2018, when I started filling the pulpit at Macedonia, and then a little while back, they voted me in as actual pastor. And then, of course, the radio broadcast. This is my primary ministry. Up until the point in time that I was filling the pulpit at Macedonia, this is my ministry. This is what I've preached and getting to preach every week for the broadcast and now the podcast. Well, ordaining is a very serious thing. And that's why I see the word ordain here, and I consider it to be a very serious thing. There's a time of watch care for ordination. There's a laying on of hands for ordination. There's a charge both to the church and to the candidate when there's an ordination. I still remember what Brother Claude preached that day of my ordination. He preached on out of the book of Exodus on the subject of Bezalel and Bezalel's ministry. And that was a great help to me. Oh, it was a tremendous help to me to hear that message. And so to be ordained is a very serious thing. The word appointed and appointment doesn't carry quite the weight of ordination. But ordination is a form of appointment. Think of it that way. You have an appointment. What does that mean? You have a scheduled time. That scheduled time is set aside for you. If you have an appointment with a doctor or at a hospital for surgery or something, that appointment is when you go, and you best be there. Now, there's a word related to appointment that we often don't use in the sense of that we use appointment, and that is disappointment. Disappointment is to lose your appointment. And it can be. I realize that's not the sense the word is normally used, but it can be. So an appointment is fairly serious, and it's a set time, usually. So ordination is something that is solemnly engaged in, and an appointment is something that there's a set time for. And there's a process for ordination. It's not just one thing. I still remember mine. I still remember the ordination. I was nervous. I was really nervous. I mean, I knew I was called, but at the same time, I was going to sit in front of men that I greatly respect and look up to, and they were going to examine me on my faith. And that made me very nervous. Still does. Because those men's signatures are on my certificate of ordination, and those men put their signatures on there, meaning that they back me, and they approve of my ministry. It's a very sobering and solemn thing to be ordained. And the same thing's true. Some churches don't do deacons, and some do, and we do. And I still remember the last deacon ordination we had, because I preached it. I preached it from my grandpa's Bible, because my grandpa held both the office of deacon and later held the office of pastor. He was called to preach after being a deacon. And my dad was a deacon. And so the thoughts of ordination is very solemn, and there's a process. Again, a preacher is not ordained just because he surrenders to preach. That's not the first thing that's done. No. The preacher's called, the preacher surrenders, and then the preacher needs to prove his ministry. He does. The preacher needs to prove. He needs to provide proof to the sending church that he is indeed called. Because you can mistake a call. As Brother Claude told me, if you can keep from it, keep from it. If you can keep from it, then you're not called. I can't help it. I gotta preach. And that's just the simple fact of the matter. It's gotta happen. I gotta do it. Well, ordination is that type of thing. And when God says he's going to ordain a place, then there's a process involved. It's not instantaneous. And furthermore, it wasn't immediate even with Solomon. During the first temple age, you could say that Israel and Jerusalem and the first temple and the first temple mount were under the watch care. The ordination ceremony hasn't happened yet. In fact, the ordination ceremony has not happened even yet. Of course, Zerubbabel came back and they built the second temple. Notice that the wording is different between the two different scriptures according to their time frame. Again, we talked about this a few weeks ago. 2 Samuel was written much earlier then 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles very likely written as the captives came back to Jerusalem from being in the Babylonian captivity for 70 years. Very likely 2 Samuel predates the captivity. And so with 2 Samuel, the word is appoint, but in 1 Chronicles, the word is ordain, and that ordination happens can only happen after the captivity. And, you know, there's preaching going on, and there's prophets prophesying, and Zerubbabel is laid off the work a little bit, and the prophets are prophesying, Zerubbabel, you better get back to work on the temple. That is the main reason you're here. And that temple mount is rebuilt. after 70 years of captivity. Well, it was rebuilt, then Herod renovated it and Hellenized it. Hellenizing is from the Greek word Ella, and that Greek word Ella, that's what they call themselves. That is the Greek for Greece. And so to Hellenize means to make like the Greeks. And so ruler, Herod the Great, who was an Edomite, Idumean, he wanted to make the temple look like the other temples in the Greek world, and so he completely rebuilt it. It was a whole new temple by the time Herod got done with it. A false third temple, you might say. That still wasn't its ordination. Its ordination has yet to come, because one day there's going to be a third temple built. One day, Jesus Christ is going to build a temple. And then one day, there's not going to be a need for a temple, because Jesus himself will be the temple. And that is where. And see, there's a temple in heaven. According to the book of Revelation, there's a temple in heaven. And there's going to be a period of time where the doors of that temple are closed. Mm-hmm. There's a period of time that the doors of that temple will be closed, listed in the book of Revelation. So there's a temple in the current heaven. Then John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the former ones have passed away. Behold, all things are new. That's also mentioned in the book of Isaiah, by the way. You can go back there and you can read that. And that is when we'll have the lamb and the lion lying down together. Go back and look in Isaiah. Compare scripture with scripture. Check up on that. You'll see. But there's going to be a period of time for a third temple, and there's going to be a period of time that the Lord Jesus is going to rule with a rod of iron from Jerusalem. It's ordained. But there's a new Jerusalem. 2 Samuel says a place of their own. 1 Chronicles says their place. I love that wording, a place of their own. It has a great meaning. 2 Samuel, a place of their own. 1 Chronicles, their place. Which means the same thing, but perhaps the people that came back from captivity weren't really in the mood to hear that phrase, a place of their own, because they had lost it before. But it's ordained. It's ordained. Now, I do know of one preacher, an ordained man of God who was a pastor and a great prayer warrior, told people late in life, when he was late in his life, he said, the Lord has pulled my call to preach, and my call is now a call of prayer. An ordained man. And, of course, if a preacher disqualifies himself after he's ordained, then his ordination should be pulled. It should be. Or the ordination should be voluntarily surrendered, that piece of paper. Because if you've disqualified yourself, you've disqualified yourself. Ordination is very serious. Again, ordination means there's weight behind it. Appointment means there's a time frame and there's weight behind it. And one of these days, that time frame is going to be the right time, and the ordination will be complete, and Israel will have a permanent place of their own. A place of their own. Now, there's going to come a time there's no temple. But this doesn't talk about necessarily just a temple. This is talking about Jerusalem and Israel. It's not just talking about the temple. The Lord's going to ordain a place. He doesn't say he's going to ordain a house or a building. He's got bigger plans. See, having a house that for the Lord is one thing. But for God to truly dwell among his people without a house means his people have to be new creatures. Because flesh and blood cannot handle it. Flesh and blood cannot stand his presence. But one day there will be a glorified body that can, and that day he won't need a temple. We'll have no need for a temple because the Lord will dwell among us. The house, the temple, is to keep the people separated from the Lord. Only the priests were allowed to go in. And for the Holy of Holies, only once a year. I mean, even today, devout Jews, devout Orthodox Jews will not just walk on the Temple Mount because they're afraid they might accidentally step on where the Holy of Holies were. They think the Holy of Holies was at where the Dome of the Rock is now, but they're not sure. And because they're not sure, they don't want to accidentally step on holy ground, not understanding it. And, you know, that place, that appointed and ordained location, is a location under significant controversial conflict even today. 692 A.D., the Dome of the Rock was built over where Islamic tradition states that Muhammad ascended to heaven from that rock. That's what they believe. They also believe that that's where Abraham, the Jews believe that's where Abraham offered Isaac, amongst other events. The mountains of Moriah is what the book of Genesis says. But it could very well be that that is the place. But the Orthodox Jew is so concerned about accidentally stepping on the Holy of Holies that many of them will not even go on the Temple Mount for fear they might accidentally step on where the Holy of Holies is supposed to be. Yeah. That's how serious they take it. That's how serious they take that appointment and that ordination of his place. I wish more Christians would take appointment and ordination as seriously. If you're appointed to a position in a church, then that should be a serious thing for you. And you should understand that because of the appointment, you represent the church. An ordained minister and an ordained deacon, the same thing. You are set apart for that purpose. And it is a very solemn thing. It's not something entered into lightly. It's not something that you just say one day, I want to be a preacher, and the church just ordains you on the spot without examining your life, without examining your doctrine, and without having had opportunity to hear you preach. That's the big one. Getting opportunity to hear the candidate for ordination preach. For a deacon, getting an opportunity to let the deacon do some of the work that a deacon does, and the church approves it by agreeing to the ordination. And churches typically vote on ordinations when the council comes back and says, yes, we recommend it. And they nominate the candidate for ordination, and then the church has to approve it because the church is putting its name and its reputation behind this candidate. I take it extremely seriously, by the way. I take ordination extremely seriously. And you should too. But Israel has an ordained place. God has set it up. He set it in stone. And I believe he had it planned from the get-go that that would be the place. And one day, that appointed place, that place of their own, will not be taken from them. That day hasn't happened yet. These scriptures are prophesying way out in the future about it. And so that's not happened yet. You know, that's a wonderful thing, to have a place of your own, isn't it? Isn't it? And to be ordained, to have that place ordained for you. Christian, we have that place. There yet remaineth a rest, the book of Hebrews tells us. And so we need to remember that. We need to remember that not only are we sanctified, that is set apart, that's the same root as ordained. Not only are we sanctified, but there is a place being sanctified for us. What an amazing, marvelous thing. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. The I Want to Know More podcast is a ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please write to Lamar Owen, Post Office Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. Again, that's Lamar Owen, P.O. Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. And join us next time for the I Want to Know More podcast.